Very good morning to one and all, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Psalm 11, a psalm written by David. There is no background given to us, but he had enemies. Enemies that tried to disturb his trust in the Lord. Who do you trust in life? Or what do you trust in life? When children are born into this world, they trust parents completely. The word trust used here refers to someone who flees for protection. There was one Sunday afternoon, I saw two boys, or a few boys, playing in our central courtyard. And then the moment I enter, one of these boys screamed and yelled in great fear and then disappeared into the fellowship hall. Then the mother came running, worried about what he had seen that resulted in him one moment playing happily with his friends, next moment as if he had seen a monster. And then when she came over, came round the staircase, and she saw me, then I smiled, and then she smiled, and then she walked back into the fellowship hall. That young boy and his brother both had the same reaction. Same kind of reaction as Dr. Koo's two daughters. When Dr. Koo's two daughters saw me, when they were very far away, about nearly 100 meters away, she saw me. She screamed and yelled, same thing. And they ran and looked for someone to protect them. Instinctively, they will run to the parents. And this seems to be my relationship with many toddlers. And so afterwards in the fellowship hall, you can see when I try to wave and try to be friendly toward a toddler, they will run and hide for protection. Who do you think they go to? Mom or dad? That is instinctive. They trust mom and dad. Mom and dad will never hurt them. Mom and dad will care for them, will protect them, will put their arms around them to give them that sense of peace and safety. As they grow older, they begin to change. They no longer run to mom and dad, which is what parenting ought to do. If they continue to run to mom and dad in their 40s and 50s, we are in trouble as parents. Slowly but surely, their trust will no longer in mom and dad. Where do you think their trust? Who do they run to for safety as they grow older? Most likely themselves. Because our education system points us in the direction of self-reliance, abilities, and that's exactly what we see as Singaporeans grow older from infancy. They begin to become more confident. They learn a skill. And then with experience, they become very good in that skill. And then they listen to the many voices of the world and no longer mom and dad anymore. And then the world will tell them, what are the things you need in life to take care of your future? And so you will be introduced to a lot of ideas and notions from the world, from your friends, from the internet, from the advertisements around us, telling us what must we trust in order to take care of our future and the future of our children. And that word that comes up, that screams very loudly, is mammon. And so with our skill, trusting in self, our ability, we try to accumulate as much mammon as possible. And so we put our trust in the things around us, in the people around us, in the government around us, in whatever we find some semblance of protection. Because that's the meaning of the word trust. Flee for protection. And then suddenly something terrible happens. Then you realize that whatever you have accumulated, it cannot protect us from death. It can't protect us from death. Not our money, not our beautiful multi-million dollar homes, Not our education, but how smart you are, how clever you are, how experienced you are. All these things suddenly has its limits. Because there is this thing called death that is so potent and so powerful that we do not know where to go to for protection so that death can have no sting, no pain, no hurt in your life and in my life. Thank God David found Christ. And that's how he begins this Psalm 11. In the Lord, that's the emphasis. In the Lord put I my trust. So this psalm was written not about an unbeliever who did not know who to trust. It's about a child of God who had already put his faith and trust in the Lord, because the word Lord is used rather than God. Lord is used simply pointing us to the covenantal relationship. That's how we know. He could have used the word in God, in Elohim, put I my trust. In other psalms, he did so. In God we trust. That's the phrase that you find in the U.S. dollar bill. In God we trust. Where do you think they got it from? From the Bible. In another instance, God is used because that was the important emphasis, the power of God in that other occurrence. But in this occurrence, it is the personal covenantal relationship that David had that people, his enemies, were trying to shake. They will never stop. They will try to shake it. And that is something that you and I must be aware of as Christians. Just because you are a Christian does not automatically mean that the God of this world will leave you alone. He will never leave you alone. You know who the God of this world is, right? He is the archangel, Lucifer, cast down from heaven because he wanted to be like God. And now God had given him other names, Satan, adversary, devil, slanderer. Every name has a purpose, has a significance, because it describes his method. If the Bible describes him as Satan, that means he's an adversary. He will stand and block your way of righteousness and holiness. If the Bible describes him as the devil, that means he's going to slander you. He's going to use all kinds of lies to describe you, to destroy your confidence and your good name. Whichever name that he used, just as God used different names to describe Christians. God used different names to describe himself. Like in this case, David used Jehovah rather than Elohim to describe his relationship with God. In God I trust, no matter what you do to me. I'm not going to shift from my trust. I will always run to God for protection, no matter how my circumstances may tell me otherwise. Stop trusting in this God. Look at your circumstances. He doesn't seem to help you. It's getting from bad to worse. You're running and hiding like a common criminal. Your life is worse than that of a beast on earth. At least even beasts, they can have homes that they can call. This is my den. This is my place of safety. You don't even have one. You live from cave to cave. You run and hide. And any and every part of Israel, King Saul wants you captured and killed. Even the people you help. He helped a city called Keilah. And then he asked God. Once news came to him that David knew that he was hiding in Keilah, he helped them against the enemies. He protected them. And then he knew that King Saul was coming with his soldiers. And he asked, oh Lord, will I find safety in Keilah? No. Will the people of Keilah give me up to King Saul to save their own skin? Yes. And so he had to flee. He had to run. He had to hide. No safety in Israel. And this is the God of Israel. Jehovah is the God of Israel. If there is no safety in Israel, why do you still want to trust in Jehovah? How say ye to my soul, flee as a little bird to your mountain. The word bird there is a little weakling, tiny little bird, not the kind of hawk, the kind of eagle, powerful bird. This is just a little bird, weak, helpless. And so he was being attacked. What was being attacked? His trust in the Lord. And the circumstances around him with all these wicked people was crying to his soul within him. Should I still trust in the Lord? I'm living in cave. If I don't trust, believe in the Lord, everything around me will be safe. Just tell Saul, I don't want to be king. You can keep your kingdom. You can keep your dynasty. I'm not interested. You'll be fine. Go back and be a shepherd and look after father's sheep. Don't accept the calling, the anointing to be the next king of Israel. And David's life as a fugitive will cease instantaneously, immediately. Give it up. Don't do God's will. Don't trust in the Lord. Are we not like that too? We live in a world where the need to trust is very real. Because very often, as long as we witness for God in this earthen vessel, this body of ours depends a lot on this world for comfort, for food, for drink, for life. And when circumstances around us turn the other direction negatively, then we begin to struggle. No food, no water, no safety. And everything in your home suddenly could be lost because of some calamity, whatever it is. And then you begin to ask yourself, should I still live the life of holiness, godliness, in righteousness as a Christian? Because to believe in Christ does not seem to benefit me anything in any physical way. You look at those who do not believe in Christ, the Christ of the Bible. They live in big houses. They drive big cars. They are healthy. They are strong. They can go on any holiday they want. And we Christians have to plan and plan and plan. And then at the end of it, our budget only permits us to do a little bit here, a little bit there, and that's it. What's the point of believing in Christ when we suffer all these inconveniences and losses in life? And look at these people. They please men. They please the boss. They get promoted. They get their bonuses. And look at how they continue to increase in more and more. And how we stay where we are. Everything seems to be status quo, if not getting from bad to worse. What is the point? You feel this way at times? That as if God is so far away from you because we have not stopped measuring our relationship with God according to the abundance of what we possess. As long as you and I do not get rid of this yardstick, measuring our relationship with God according to the abundance of what we possess, which Jesus Christ warned us, stop your covetousness and stop measuring yourself according to the abundance of what you possess. If you and I do not stop this, which is the clarion call of the world will never stop shouting into our ears, into our soul, that you and I need to measure ourselves according to the abundance of what we possess. Isn't that what the world keeps on shouting into our ears, into our children's ears since they are in school? Before they take their major exams, PSLE and O-level, many schools will invite some of these outside people to prepare them for PSLE. Because as parents, we have to sign some paper to take the EduSave funds or Edu funds to pay for it. Not cheap. They say, well, the school will pay some amount and you have to pay the balance. What is the purpose? To prepare them so that they will excel in their studies. And so when it was time for us to sign the document, we have to tell our children, one after the other, when they arrive at P6, Mom and Dad cannot sign this letter, even though everyone in class will be attending. Why? Because we have been trying our best to emphasize not to measure our lives according to the abundance of what we possess. And to the world, when you excel in this, you're going to excel in the next level, to the next level, to what end? To be the next millionaire at the youngest age possible. And so they get these people who have succeeded according to their measure of success, a millionaire before they turn 30. And they started all these schools to prepare students and to have the right kind of mindset so that they will excel in the studies to make more money. This runs counter to what the Bible teaches us. And so we have to explain to our children first, and then the teachers will call up Sure to call up. All three of them, they call up. And so we have to talk to the teacher and explain to them why we cannot. And then when they grow up, the world has not changed. The voice seems louder and louder and louder. Measure yourself according to the abundance of what you possess. And so the wicked will attack. How will they attack? How will they attack you? With words, right? Bible describes it, for lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. In the case of David, the way to stop him was to kill him. In your case and in my case, if they could, they would kill you too. But they will try their best to destroy. Destroy what? Destroy your trust in the Lord. If you do not change your yardstick in measuring your relationship with God, using the spiritual rather than the carnal yardstick, you will never have peace, you will never be happy. Because there will always be someone who is richer than you, there will always be someone who is smarter than you, cleverer than you, living a house that is bigger than yours. Always. And where will it end? It will end in a wasted life of witness. Remember, if you are truly born again in Christ, please know, make sure of your salvation that you are truly born again in Christ. Satan or anyone else, no one can take away your salvation. No sin that you commit can ever erase the salvation from your life in Christ. So you have to make sure of your salvation. Please understand this. Satan will not attempt to take away your salvation because he knows he cannot do that. He is not powerful, more powerful than God. The only way that he could take away your salvation and my salvation is to take you out of God's hand and the hand of Christ. That means God tells us the only way anyone can take you out of our salvation that we have given to you, because God says you are in his hand, you are in Christ's hand as well. The only way that person can take it is the person who is greater, more powerful than God. No one. And so Satan knows that Satan is just a created being, a fallen creature. Oh, very powerful, because he was a fallen archangel and with the power of angelic beings at his disposal. He is not omnipresent. If he's in Singapore, he's not in America. If he's in America, he's not in Africa. If he's in Africa, he's not in Australia. He moves very fast, but he is not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He is not omniscient. He doesn't know all things. But he is still a very potent and dangerous adversary. But what he can do is to rob you and me of our holy witness. And when you do not trust in God, you and I will trust in something or someone else, which will mean we will fall into sin. And that's exactly what he wants. When truly born again Christians, children of God, live in sin, you know how useful we are to the devil? The devil has his own armies in their own uniform. They don't call themselves Christians. And so when they fall into sin, when they attack, no big deal, no big problem to Christ, because they don't call themselves Christians. But the moment you call yourself Christian and you live not according to the Bible, you will reflect a very, very false Christ. And that's his agenda. That is his aim and purpose. And that's why there are so many false Christians. Because false Christians will present to the world a false Christ. And so you have the Roman Catholic version, you have the Charismatic version, you have the versions from the New Evangelicals who say the Bible has mistakes. All sorts. And then you have the truly born-again believers, like David. If you're truly born-again believers, you and I are now swimming against the tide of ecumenism. It is harder today to shine brightly for Christ than in the early days of the early church. Because in the early church, you only have persecuted Christians, only one kind. If you are truly called a Christian, you will be prepared. You must be prepared to lose your family, lose your job, lose your freedom, lose your life. And yet you still want to be a Christian. That period of time, Christianity was very pure. Because those who accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, they were prepared to give up everything on earth. Today, Christianity is very, very acceptable, very, very beautiful. It is no longer the cross made of wood. It is a cross made of gold. It's a cross made of platinum. It is a cross of comfort. It's a cross of luxury. That's the danger. And that is exactly what you and I are confronted with. The need to trust is more true and necessary today than ever before. To trust in the Lord, not in mammon. Satan can destroy our witness in two ways: persecution and seduction. Both of them are just as deadly. In Singapore, you will find it is most likely the second, seduction. Once in a while, a little bit of persecution here and there. But by and large, on a day-to-day level, it is seduction, because there is peace and law in the land of Singapore. But just as effective and just as deadly, if not more so. Remember how Jesus Christ taught us the four ways to hear God's word. Only one is correct, whereby it falls on good ground and result in growth, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. The second type of ground are those who say amen to God's word. The moment they face persecution, they give up. The third is the most dangerous. They also say amen to God's word, but the moment the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches crept into their lives, they also give up God's word. So the Lord knows. Of course, there is the first group who just don't care for God's word. Oh yeah, they don't even bother to believe in the first place. These are unbelievers. The second type think they are believers because they hear God's word, but they don't obey. They agree with God's word, but they don't obey. The disobedience was a result of persecution and seduction. They did not end up obeying God's word. So they thought they trusted in God until persecution revealed that it was not true trust. Until the cares of the world, the cares of family life, the deceitfulness of riches also reveal that we do not trust. Which one is more deadly? In the case of the first one, the persecution, it is more instantaneous, so it may be better. Then at least now you know your trust in God was superficial. You can still have time to fix it. But to those who are deceived by the cares of the world in themselves are not wrong, like family life or bringing up children. These are called cares of the world. The deceitfulness of riches, that with money, most of my problems are solved, if not all of my problems are solved. And so you accumulate more and more money because that's what you think. It will be the way to solve all my problems. That's where your trust has begun. And by the time you find out, you are in your 60s. Gone. The best years of your life, over. It's over. And then now all you have is just regret. Because what you have now in your family would be children who are carnal. The children who are lovers of the world. And all you could do is to weep and to cry, because you are running out of time in now influencing them, trying to undo the damage you have done in their young lives. And you realize that it is nearly impossible, because their heart, their character, they are more or less set in stone. What kind of stone? The carnal stone. Not the stone which is Christ. The stone of carnality. And unless God did a mighty, miraculous work in them, perhaps something devastating, like maybe a near-life experience, to shake them out of their stupor, to open their eyes, to bring back to remembrance all the words of God that they have learned in Sunday school. Sadly, not from you. Maybe the Sunday school, not from mom and dad, which should be from mom and dad. But because of your carnal influence, because of your deceitfulness that you have presented to them. On Sunday, look so good. At home, bad. Satan will never stop trying to shift away our trust in the Lord. But first, you have to make sure that you trust in the Lord. Because the Lord can be trusted. Can be trusted. No matter what the wicked may say, no matter what the wicked may do, they may string their bow and they may put in the arrow about to fire. But the Lord can be trusted, even if you lose your physical life. He can always be trusted because He is always in control. How much is He in control? Verse 3 to verse 5 tells us that He is in absolute total control. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Absolutely nothing. Who is our foundation? Who is our foundation? Righteous one, who is our foundation? Can our foundation ever be destroyed? Where is our foundation found? Verse 4, the Lord is in His holy temple. Now, written by David, there was no actual temple on earth yet. There was only the tabernacle. The temple was built only in Solomon's time. That's why this is a Psalm of David. So what temple is he talking about up in heaven? Holy place, holy palace, holy temple, holy dwelling place of God. And the Lord's throne is in heaven. That's how we know it's in heaven. This holy temple is in heaven, untouchable by any man. Not even the devil could touch. God is in absolute total control, and that's where our foundation in Christ is located. That's why you have to trust Him, no matter what. That's why you have to change your yardstick to measure your relationship with God. You must stop measuring your confidence in life according to the abundance of what you possess. That must stop. That must change to your relationship with God in Christ. Your prayer life, your obedience to God's word, your knowledge of the word of God, your love for things eternal and spiritual. All these are the blessings that money cannot buy, but Christians embrace and long for and look forward to. And they could count them blessing by blessing, daily blessing by blessing. Have you counted your blessing last week? This week is the beginning of another new week. Have you counted the many blessings that you have experienced with your Heavenly Father last week? I hope you have. Through your prayer life, through your constant communion with Him, you heard His voice. He had been near you. He had been with you. He had been crying to you, guiding you, helping you. And whenever you cry to Him, He's always there to listen. When you read the Word of God, He speaks to your heart. All these are the spiritual blessings that will stabilize our relationship with Him. So much so that Christ truly is everything to you and to me. And everything else, therefore, is nothing. If Christ is everything, and you and I can't take Christ away, He is in His holy temple. He still sits on the throne in heaven, in control of everything on earth. His eyes behold. The word behold means to contemplate with pleasure. It's not to see, and that's it. It is to see, to contemplate, and then He smiles. And then His eyelids try. The eyelids here describe the early morning rays. It's like the sun rising. Right? That's called eyelids. Like somebody opening their eyes. The word try there is to investigate, is to test the purity of the material. You say that you are gold. So you put it to the test and see whether this is real gold. You say that this is real silver, and so you will burn it, you will test it to see whether it is real silver. And so you say you're a Christian, God says, I will test and I will see who you are. And He says, the children of man will be the target. That's what the David says, right? His eyes behold, his eyelids try, that means his eyelids will test the children of man. And who are the children of man? Verse 5 describes the two groups of the children of man. First, the righteous, the word trieth is the same word. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, he so hateth. So as far as God is concerned, the children of men are made up of two groups. The righteous and the wicked. And He knows. His eyes will behold. Those who are His children, those who are the righteous, they live a righteous life. Those who are truly born again, regardless of what experiences, external adversities and difficulties they might encounter. Whether it is a stroke that did not kill, render the person into a wheelchair. Whatever it is, loss of job, loss of health, whatever it is, his trust in the Lord remains constant, if not stronger. And he will continue to live a life of holiness and righteousness according to the Bible. The Lord will behold, he will contemplate, and he will examine, and then he will smile. And he will send adversities to test. To test whether we are truly righteous. And that's why adversities were found in David's life and in all our lives. Not only are we called to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for His sake, or for His name's sake. It's part and parcel of the Lord opening His eyelids to try to test us early in the morning. It will begin. The moment you accept Christ as Lord and as Savior, the trial, the testing will come. And what will it reveal? The righteous, the Lord says, I will be happy with them. But the wicked, who love violence, God will hate his soul. In other words, God knows exactly where we stand, right here and now. He knows exactly. As long as we are here on earth, we can still change. Do not be wicked. Why are you coming to church if you are not a Christian? Seriously. God is asking, why do you come to church if you are not a Christian? To hear God's word? Why do you want to hear God's word? The book of James illustrated it this way. Why do people want to look into a mirror? Mirror was invented for one purpose, and that is to reflect. Reflect whoever that is looking into the mirror. It was invented to help you see your face. Imagine there is no mirror. There is no way you can see what you look like. You know that, right? Without the mirror. It's impossible for you to see what you look like. I mean, people can describe you. People can sketch and draw your face out if you trust the person's drawing. But other than that, you and I need a mirror to see what we look like and also whatever blemishes and filth and dirt that's on our face. And so when you look at the mirror, hopefully you see the blemishes and the dirt on your face, you will get some water to wash away your dirt. A person who comes and hear God's word and don't obey God's word is like a person who look himself into the mirror, see all the blemishes and dirt, and then instead of washing his face, he just walk away, and very soon after walking away, he forgets about his face, he forgets about the filth and the dirt on his face. Then the question comes, why does he want to look at the mirror in the first place? If he's not going to wash it, then why look? Same with the word of God. The word of God is like the spiritual mirror. The only mirror, spiritual mirror on earth that can reflect our soul. Whatever filth and dirt that is in our soul. You come to church as a non-believer, very good. But go one step further, because the word of God is that mirror that will reflect the kind of soul that you are in. If you are not born again in Christ, it reveals the depravity that is in us, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that is in all of us. And if you're not going to do something about it, you're just like the person who looked into the mirror and walked away. Don't walk away. Clean your face. Wash your face. Wash your spiritual soul of all the dirt by the blood of Christ and come to know Christ as Lord and as Savior. Because He did come down from heaven to die on the cross for your sin. And God, who loves you, sent Him to come down to die for your sins, said that He has done a good job. It is enough to wash away all your sins, because I raised Him from the dead as an emphatic demonstration of my acceptance of what He has done for you. Don't reject my love, God says. Don't turn your back on Christ, Jesus says to you. Come to know Him as Lord and as Savior and make sure of your salvation, because His blood alone is the only thing that can wash away all the sins that are in your soul. And then you put your trust in Him. Because we are surrounded by a world of deception and deceivers. And if you are truly born again in Christ, the need to trust Him more is now in the 21st century than ever before. And you must know the one you trust. He can be trusted because His throne is up in heaven and He is in control of everything that happens on earth and in your life. And in your life, some of us may be going through difficult times, whether it is financial or otherwise. Know that you have a family here in this church who can help you. If you need counseling, we can help you. If you need financial help, the church can help you too. And realize that financial help is the easiest to help. Christian fellowship can also bring comfort and blessing to your soul. Don't stay away. Take advantage of the Bible studies. Take advantage of the fellowship groups so that you may know brothers and sisters in Christ who can help you. And you can also help others in return. So that together as a gathering of brothers and sisters in Christ on earth, we may hold each other's hand and arrive at home in heaven and still fellowshipping and worshiping God together. This is how you must look at the local church and one another in Christ. That we are going to be with each other for eternity. And therefore, whatever differences, whatever difficulties we may experience with each other, be a peacemaker. Take prompt action to reconcile and do whatever it takes to mend every relationship without compromising on truth and holiness and righteousness. And if someone rejects your offer of peace, let it not be your fault. That's what it is to trust in the Lord at all costs. The need to trust is still present because we are living in the last time, the last days. And the only one to trust is God, because His foundation is Himself, seated in the throne in heaven that nothing on earth can ever touch. Everything else that you want to put your trust in will be destroyed. It's only a mirage. It's only a smokescreen. There is no safety in anything that the devil offers you on earth. Not education, nothing. Nothing. I learned this lesson on the day my sister passed away. She was the most brilliant of all in our family of 9 children. All her life, mom and dad never had to worry about her studies. She always get either first or second place in class through her whole life, primary school all the way to university. All her life. And university, I was told that she got a scholarship because we were pretty poor by then. And so when she started work, she was the one who supported us. She would give her salary to mom because by then my dad passed away. She was always the smartest, good in math and science. That's why she had a problem in choosing what to study in the university. If you're only good in science, the choice is made for you, science. If you're good in arts, it's made for you, arts. When you are excellent, always get distinction in arts and science. She had a difficult time choosing which faculty to study. For me, it's easy. Anything that involves drawing, I go. Only architecture, you see? I am bad in everything else. I only love drawing. And that's it. But for her, it was everything. And then I thank God I came to know Christ. I was a young believer then. And then I came back from Indonesia one night. At the time I was dating Angie. By the time I came back, it was past midnight, and I was a little surprised because out at the entrance of our home, because my brothers and sisters were married, myself, my younger brother, and another younger brother, we were not married, so we stayed with mom. Then I saw so many pairs of sandals and shoes outside. I was surprised at midnight. Then the moment I entered, there was a very, very solemn quietness. And I knew something was wrong. And I asked, what happened? What happened? Then they told me, my sister passed away in Paris all by herself. She was an assignment from Straits Times. Then I sat there. I tried to read the Bible. I could not concentrate. I tried to pray. I could not even concentrate. Her life of brilliance, her experience, her abilities, all just simply suddenly disappeared forever. All her cleverness, all her intelligence, everything just died with her. Thank God that she was a believer. Thank God through her, my mom also came to know Christ. Later, much later. Everything stopped. Her brilliance, her intelligence, all gone. Just like that, the snap of a finger. I wasn't even there to send her off at the airport. I thought she would come home. Because we sent her off before, and she always come home. And that's make it even more difficult for me to accept. And to make it even worse, before she left, we had a little bit of a dispute. We had a little bit of a quarrel. And we didn't even make up. And then because of that, I was busy. I had to go to Indonesia for my work. And so I could not make it to the airport, hoping that when she returned, I would say sorry. And after all the paperwork, about a week later, we have to go to the back part of the airport where they collect luggage to collect her coffin. That experience will remain in my brain for the rest of my life. I wanted to say sorry, but I did not. I wanted to say sorry after she returned, but she did not return the way that I thought she would return. Everything, her brilliance, her intelligence, all that she worked so hard for, all gone. Just like that. There is nothing the world can offer you that you should put your trust in. It is a mirage. It is not real. Only the Lord, His throne in heaven, His foundation can never be destroyed. Everything that the devil offers you on earth, no matter how sweet the voice may sound, it is seductive, it is tantalizing. Put your trust in mammon. Put your trust in big houses. Put your trust in banks. Put your trust in insurance. All these can be destroyed, but not your Lord. Not the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on trusting in Him, because your life is important to Him. Because you and I who have put our faith and trust in the Lord, has a very important mission entrusted to us by God Himself. In other words, the Lord needs you and me, not in the sense that He cannot do without us, but in the sense that He has given us the honor and the privilege where He needs you and me to live a life of holiness and godliness, no matter how difficult the circumstances of life might be. You see this in the last two verses. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. So please, if you are not a Christian, please understand verse 6 is what awaits you. There is no third group. It's either the righteous or the wicked. That's how God has separated everyone on earth as He behold, as His eyelid test, try the children of men. The wicked has in store for them only sadness, pain, and punishment. But to the righteous, the Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance continue to behold and look at them and contemplate with pleasure the upright in heart. The Lord loveth righteousness, His countenance doth behold the upright. So live a life of holiness and righteousness. That's what God asks of us. That's why you and I have been left behind after salvation. To live a life of holiness and righteousness as the walking testimony and evidence of the God who loves this world, of the God who loved this world so much He sent Jesus Christ to die for them. That is what your life and my life must always attempt to do. That is the life of the peacemaker. That is the life of the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Beatitude number 7. That's who we are. And that's what God wants. We now have a thirst and a hunger for righteousness. And so we go around at home, at work, in school, and be very prompt in making peace. Do right, so that when children look at your life and my life, Dad, Mom, they are children of God. Do you not want them to say that of you? Your friends, your colleagues, when they go to work, they will always remember you. You are a child of God. You are different, because you have been sharing with them your life of holiness, and you share with them the gospel of Christ. They will remember you, children of God. Sure, right now they don't see any difference. But did Jesus not promise us that one day when He returns, the world will see us for who we really are? The fact that we are children of God will be manifested, will be made plain and clear for everyone to see. Let them see now. Because now they need to see. Because the next time when they see us for who we really are, when Jesus Christ opened the clouds of glory and descend, the day of salvation is over. The day of judgment begins. You don't want them to see by sight that we are children of God. They must see by faith. By the way that we live, they must see by faith, not the outward manifestation. Because when they see us with the outward manifestation, which is the glorified body that is given only to children of God, it will have been all over for them. For them, the day of judgment has begun. Please, let them see us by faith that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Children, when you go to school, let this be your focus. Be a peacemaker. Let them see Christ by the way you study hard, by the way that you conduct yourself with your teachers. Even though you may be unjustly treated, respond in a manner that is righteous. If you have done wrong, apologize. Make good, not perfection, but holiness. In the workplace, it's the same thing. Everywhere we go, the world needs to see Christ more now than ever before, because time is running out. The world is changing. The world is marching headlong toward the Antichrist kingdom. You have to be spiritually blind not to see this. So please do not build castle in the air. It will be destroyed. Don't worry about your profession, your future. Worry about Christ and be a holy witness for Christ. Stop thinking about the next project, the next bonus, the next big house. All these have to stop. Because if you do not stop measuring yourself according to the abundance of what you possess, you will be deceived. You will be duped, because your trust is not in the Lord. your trust is in mammon. And mammon, the foundation will be destroyed. And the life you live will be carnal or wicked. Please know the consequence. Know the consequence. Who do you trust? Is answered by how you live. Not what you say, but how you live before God and before men. Who do you really trust? If it is Christ, prove it by promoting the Christ of the Bible by your life. If you are not a Christian, may God be merciful, because what you trust in, yourself, your mammon, that foundation will be destroyed. But in Christ, whose throne is in heaven, impossible to be destroyed, for the devil can't even touch it. But everything else, he will destroy it. By death, by sickness, by whatever, nothing can save you except Christ. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that You truly are a God who sits on the throne in heaven, beholding everything, the children of men, and Your eyes will continue to try the children of men. Help us to know who we are, that as children of men, are we the righteous or the wicked? And I pray, O Lord, that all of us here belong to the righteous in Christ Jesus. And this is seen in our continuous trust in Thee, for we have ceased to measure ourselves according to the abundance of what we possess, but in our walk, in our relationship with God Almighty in Christ Jesus. Stir within our hearts, O Lord, that first love, that we may never stop praying, that we may never stop reading and studying and obeying God's holy word, and never stop sharing Christ with friends, family members, and loved ones until the day the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And may that blessed day be soon. We pray, O Lord, that You'll be gracious and merciful to speak to all our hearts this morning, for we have not heard the voice of man nor the word of man, but the voice and the word of God Almighty Himself. And may the word have free reign over every worshipper's heart, that we may all know that the one that we trust in life is none other than the very Son of God Himself, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And His foundation lasts for eternity. And this is seen and evidenced by the life of holiness and righteousness that emanates from the lives of all Your children and the disciples of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.